Well, hello there, everyone, and welcome to the Universal, otherwise known as DreamWorks, right? Yes, DreamWorks, because they did Shrek, and people who were punished for this movie, they got kicked off of this movie, and they went and had to work on Shrek. That means this is The Prince of Egypt from 1998. I would imagine that's one heck of a... that's not even a lateral movement, because this is 2D animation, and Shrek is the complete opposite. Well, that's not really the opposite. I'm not an animator. I'd be very curious to know, like, how easy it would be for a 2D animator to go and work on a 3D animate. Because this is 3D. This is 3D animated. It's just made to look like 2D, right? I don't know. That must have been one heck of a punishment, though. Okay. So, The Prince of Egypt. Yes, this is based on the Exodus story. Keep in mind, artistic and historical license has been taken. We believe that this film is true to the essence, values, and integrity. Note that they don't mention historical accuracy. They mention taking historical license. They don't mention anything about historical accuracy. I feel the need to point that out because this was put out in 1998. Since then, archaeologists are pretty certain, if not absolutely certain, that there were no Hebrew slaves in Egypt who built the pyramids, amongst other things. They had slavery in Egypt, but they were not Hebrew. They were not from the land of Judea. So, very interesting, because, like I said, this movie came out in 1998, when I don't think that was a bygone conclusion yet. That was only until, like, the mid-2000s, late 2000s. So, very interesting. But yes. This is... one of the things I find interesting about this is that I really love this movie. It is a musical. I love the musical numbers. They did a sequel, Joseph and the Prince of the King of Dreams. It was not nearly as good as this, and I've always wanted to watch them back to back, or watch them over again and see why one was so great and the other one was so bad. Hans Zimmer did this, so I wonder if he wasn't. I'm more than certain he didn't come back for the Joseph one, so that probably has something to do with it. The Joseph one was probably more of a cash grab than anything else, if we're being honest with ourselves and DreamWorks. This is the one. This was like supposed to be like prestige filmmaking. They were like trying to evoke like, you know, what's that? Who was the one Charlton Heston was in? Ten Commandments. They were trying to make, like, vintage storytelling here and filmmaking. Joseph, not so much. They were just trying to make money. I wonder if, like, management had changed hand in DreamWorks and or Universal. See, that's 3D animation, but we've got 2D on top of 3D. So, I don't know. Maybe it wasn't that much of a difference working on this versus working on Shrek, which I do want to watch that again. Shrek 1 and 2. I don't know about the third and fourth one. Not so sure about those. Also, they did... This is, for what I said about historical accuracy, theologically speaking, they were very accurate because, from my understanding, the Jews at the time would not have referred to their God as his name, Yahweh. In the Bible... Okay, so in this, if you're not familiar with the Moses story, one, I don't know why you're watching this. Two, most people probably have some faint idea about it. But in the Bible, when the character of God is introduced, he is introduced with Moses and the burning bush, and that's when he gives up his name as Yahweh. Up until then, he doesn't have a name. He's given the name Elohim, which they mention in this song. They refer to him as Elohim, which is a general term for God. Although if it's a proper noun with a capital E, from what I understand, that's the specific God of the Judeans, of the Jewish people at the time. So they were accurate because they didn't have... It was like Voldemort. You couldn't speak his name. So they refer to him as a more general, oh, well, we'll just call him capital G God instead of his actual name. It's very interesting. And yes, that is a rabbit hole. If you want to go back to, like, ancient theology, that is, like, many... That's not even one rabbit hole. That's many rabbit holes. It's a baby! Just a baby! Also, props to DreamWorks for not making these people white. this for an American production of a story that is it's not Christian in origin, it's Jewish in origin, but Christianity has a lot of Jewish influence in it, obviously. For an American production company creating a story from that time period, like, I would have to assume that there was somebody in the room at least thinking, shouldn't they be white? That's the Jesus and Moses that everyone knows. Well, maybe not Moses. That being said, some of the voice actors are white, so. This was 98. This was before Hollywood was as inclusive. Well, I mean, people would argue, myself included, that Hollywood's probably not as inclusive as it could and or should be now, but 1998 was a different world. It was also like 20 years ago, which is terrifying to me. The amount of time that Moses spent not amongst this people, but amongst the Egyptian royalty, that's about the amount of time that has passed, right? Oh no! It's the fish. Dun, dun. Oh, he gonna die. What are you gonna do? She's like rushing out. Oh, here. I'll be the sacrificial lamb. Get the basket out of there. She's a very dedicated daughter, and her mother's very not good as a mother, because you just let her run off. Birds! It's baby Ramses! Is it Ramesses? I always thought it was Ramesses, but people refer to him sometimes as Ramses. But there's an E in there, which I know that's not Egyptian. That's like, what's the word? It's like a Latinization. Although, generally speaking, when you Romanize something or Latinize it, you usually, like, put English alphabet words that at least somewhat replicate the sound you're supposed to make, right? Ah. Oh, he'll be back. Don't you worry. Oh no! Jealousy. I've always thought it was odd that we don't cut to the title here. We've already seen the title. So, like, they have to cut to something far less spectacular. Also, that's not centered. See, the visuals isn't nearly as spectacular as, like, the crescendo of the music, right? Boom! I've always thought that was weird. Like, a lot of tonal dissonance there. Like, it's going, like... 50 miles an hour, he still can't take his eyes off of the murals. I do like Ramesses' character, at least for the first half of the movie. Because he's very much, like, bound by the rules. But, like, he really only needs to be pushed a little bit before he's playing along with Moses' antics. Like, right there, he's like, you could have killed me! All Moses has to do is, like, say one thing. Oh, well, you know what? That sounds like a good idea. Like, he's constantly standing on the precipice of, like, ideas. Which, that might be the point, I guess. And then in the latter half of the movie, he just teeters the fuck off of that precipice. That's a legitimately good joke, by the way. I'm not laughing because I've watched this movie off and on again for my entire life. I always see on social media people are always talking about, man, late 90s, early 2000s 2D animation was really on to something. And they always cite this and, like, I think it's Road to El Dorado, usually DreamWorks stuff. It's a shame that studios just up and just decided not to make 2D animation anymore. That's funny. Animated movies just happened to make more money, and so they were like, oh, you know what, we don't need to make 2D animation anymore, which is a shame. The studios that do that, like Wolfwalkers, I'm gonna cite that again, it's fantastic. I know people usually cite Princess and the Frog and Frozen, I think it was, because they came out roughly around the same time, and Frozen made like oodles of more money. I have to go on monetary figures because I haven't seen either of those yet. Woo! Okay, so this is not historically accurate. It's not biblically accurate. That's not accurate whatsoever. Ramesses and Moses completely causing the total and utter collapse of the Egyptian economy. Not found anywhere in any theology. I love these shots where it's the Pharaoh tiny, but it's also his massive visage, like, overlooking everything. Like, this is a legitimately good movie. Like, if you extricate all of the religious stuff out of this, like, it is it's a fantastic film just by itself. I mean, not that you can't have religious iconography in great films. I bring that up because a lot of times a lot of religious films are more like advertisements for the religion. You see that a lot with like mainstream like Christian films, and I say that because I'm an American, that's what I'm usually exposed to. But like there is fantastic religious films out there, but those are usually films that are, they're more or less divorced from advertising the religion, and they're more about telling a story about, like, The Last Temptation of Christ. That's a film about Jesus, but it's not like, oh, here, come join our religion, we're so fantastic. It's mostly just Willem Dafoe trouncing around the desert, and it's like an intense character study on the character of Jesus more than anything. See, I love that shot. I honestly think, because I remember noticing this as a kid. I mean, I didn't realize like how deep the symbology lied, but like I recognized like what the filmmakers were doing. So this might be actually my first like experience into like filmography or film symbology, I guess. Or maybe symbology just in general, because I was very young. I was six or seven when this came out. We saw it in theater. We saw this in IMAX. Oh, look, he was whistling the song he heard as a baby that he somehow remembered, even though he was an infant when he heard it. I mean, you just brought down the economy, so. I mean, you're very, like, you didn't even notice what he was doing. You didn't even try to stop him. You're very not good at that. You're not very observant, Ramses. My new thing! They didn't have a word for it. See, all it takes... I love that about him. He's so strict, but like to a very shallow point. Is curly hair supposed to be like a Hebrew thing? Because like Moses is the only Egyptian character with that kind of hair. Like everyone else is bald. You thought? I also like how the bodies of the characters are very based on like Egyptian hieroglyphics. Have like Ramesses especially has like that upside down triangle shape to his torso that you see usually. Their mom is the same way. Maybe not, I don't know about now because we can't see a full shot, but when she was bringing Moses up the stairs, she had that very slim sort of hieroglyphic body going on. Oh, but yeah, I forgot. This film is a family film, but it also has murder, it has sexual assault. It has quite a few things. They just went out and kidnapped a woman. This is very uncomfortable for me to watch now, which is very weird because I very much remember not being bothered by it, like, as an 8-year-old. Which, I mean, you're too young to really understand anything at that point, but... maturity is a great thing. Callum. It's actually reminiscent of Hunchback of Notre Dame. Which we need to watch that at some point, because like Matilda, that's another film that's like traumatized into my brain hole. Huzzah! Well, maybe not that. We need an Egyptian god version of that. Eunuch, take her to my chambers. Such an awkward scene. Like, we all know what Moses is expected to do right now. Why did he sit there with his stomach all piled up in his throat? Zipporah, more like Rapunzel. Oh, spoiler. Yeah, that's Moses' wife. Also, her back there, that's giving me massive Kronk vibes from Empire Strikes Back from Emperor's New Groove. I do. I think this also stands out because DreamWorks was always, at this time point in time, DreamWorks was always like following Disney's lead. This is like the only film, like the most notable film DreamWorks did at this time that wasn't like they did, Road to El Dorado, that was blatantly like a Tarzan sort of. Disney was doing Tarzan, and so DreamWorks was like, oh, here, they're doing that with Phil Collins. Well, we're just going to go get Elton John, and we'll make our own adventure jungle film. But like Disney never did this. Disney never did like an old Testament film. I guess they didn't do a Shrek thing either. How does she recognize him? How would she know that? Like, is he? I don't think he's supposed to be known to the common people as, yeah, that Hebrew child that we rescued. Like, as far as anybody would know, he would be Egyptian just like everyone else. Right? They didn't. The mom, she doesn't know him as Moses because he would have changed his name upon being inducted into the royal family. Coheed. There's a lot of strong women in this movie, which is cool, which is good, but for the time period, I don't know how accurate that is. Like, even in historical Egypt, I don't know how much agency slave women were given, if any. Certainly not in biblical Egypt. Look at Aaron. He's like, oh my god. Gasp. Do you remember this? I'm assuming the implication is like God imbued him with that knowledge to remember this for this moment. I don't remember if that's what actually happened in the Bible. I'm going to go out on a limb and say it wasn't. Oh, look, it's the same shot. They're doing a thing. Like, there's no way he would have remembered that from an infant. That's like the Rise of Skywalker. How do you know that tune of feeling? Got some good soundtrack coming up. The juxtaposition. I also don't think that this is architecturally accurate. The ancient Egyptians did some marvelous things. This is a bit too grandiose, though. Oh, look, it's the Ark of the Covenant right behind him. Is that where he gets the idea? When they build the Ark, he's like, oh, I remember that, the painting on my wall. The implication? Oh, now we're going, we've really gone to 2D animation now. This is about as 2D as it gets. This is a really cool segment. I like how creative they get. Like, he's hiding in the reeds, and you can still see him behind the reeds, but they don't see him, but you know he's hiding because there are reeds. That sounded a lot more dumb when I explained it. There's no historical evidence that this ever happened, by the way. So, fun fact. See, like, that's a cool shot. Like, they're actually hiding behind the column thing. Onto the ceiling, go! See, it would make more sense if he saw this before he spoke to Miriam, right? Because then he could have a dream with that song and he wouldn't remember it from that. As it is now, he has no reason to understand the song. It's not like it was the top 40 in the Egyptian, I guess, top 40. Okay, this next part's actually hilarious. Well, I don't know if it's this part or if it's later. I think it's this next part. Not only are the Egyptians in this film horrible, horrible people for murdering a bunch of infants, they were so proud of it that they literally put it on their walls. Like, if you need if you ever needed a better, like, villain backstory, here it is. Look. They were so proud of this shining moment of utter murderous rampage. Oh, here, let's memorialize it on our walls. Oh my god. So funny. Like, nobody would ever do that. His mom probably could have explained it a little bit more innocuously. His dad basically told him, okay, you know what? Don't love me anymore because I'm a monster. Egyptians actually treated their slaves very well. The pyramids? They were actually built by farmers on years, when there were years that they couldn't harvest because of drought or whatever. They actually went and helped build the pyramids, and they got monetarily compensated that way because they couldn't farm. All the articles I could find, they were specifically about the pyramids. I don't know about the rest of Egypt's infrastructure. And there's a lot of that, which I guess makes sense because, like, the pyramids are, like, the biggest and best thing about Egypt as far as most people are concerned. And so a lot of people wouldn't care about anything else. Didn't. I was about to say. Showed up. I also love how this film is very... So if you read the Old Testament, it actually does come across as, like, there are different factions of gods. So I do love how this film actually, like, depicts that. It's not like, you know, they're revising theology to, you know, be biased in favor of the God of the Hebrews. It's really cool later on in the film when there's actually, like, warfare between, it's not really warfare. It's more like a game of chess that the Egyptian gods are playing versus the Hebrew God. Those aren't geese. Those are like cranes or swans. You can make it more grand than that? No. no more time. He's like, Rambacis is like Rudolph now. He has no time for reindeer games. I had to do like a double take on that joke just to make sure I got it just right. What a dumb overseer. Wasted all that grain. Or that's probably sand. Okay, never mind. They lost nothing. I like how that's all it took for Moses to gain a conscience. Although I guess in that day and age, like, you had no choice. That was just what you knew. There's a reason humanism didn't really come about until like the 1700s. Why did Miriam choose now? She's seen this her whole damn life. Why only now is she like... I'm assuming this is the first time she's acting up, because like at some point they would have like chided her or killed her or something, right? I understand how films work. I know how drama works and script writing. But that's what film commentators do in this day and age. They nitpick on things. There's murder. We had sexual assault. We had murder. Theological experiences from the nether. We get mass genocide later on. I forgot about that. This movie does have everything. We have mass infanticide. We have racism motivated murders. Good God. This movie has it all. This is like the What's Remaining of Edith Finch of filmmaking. Ramses nearly tackled him. Sign that man to an NFL contract. I mean, I guess he didn't complete the tackle, but we can teach him. These guys are like masters of geometry. They should be physics majors. The way he handled the horses and knowing which way his chariot was going to go. Ramesses is actually like a really cool brother. I mean, other than the fact that he's all about subjugating an entire race of people. I mean, that is a slight against him. But like, other than that, he's like a really solid person. It's just odd because you'd think they would like try to characterize him as like an evil villain person, right? Like, he is the antagonist for the story. I forgot how quickly he leaves Egypt. It's been like half an hour. I mean, I guess that's relative. Also, I'm assuming the implication here is that Moses is so distraught he went out into the desert to die? Like, where did he think he was going? I mean, it becomes clear in a second, but in one of the great IMAX shots of this film, when you could tell that, oh yeah, I can tell that this was filmed for IMAX, even if you don't know. Like this right here. These are all IMAX shots, especially that one. Just wait until we get to the ending of the second act. Those are full IMAX shots. I love it because that's me. That is so me. Something, there's a slight against me in the form of a freaking inanimate object, and I get upset at the inanimate object. It's like, ah! Stupid shoe for getting caught on things. I do that. Oh my god, someone should cut this to the Mad Max soundtrack. IMAX shot. Look, he's resigning himself to death right now. Like, what was his goal? Is he just so, like, full of guilt? My whole life was a lie. Let me just suffocate to death underneath the sand. That's the case. Is God keeping him alive right now? Because there's totally been more... How did he survive? He had to wait. He was under there the duration of that sandstorm. And then he had to wait for that camel to show up out of nowhere. How long has he been under there? Was God keeping him alive? And if so, how does that not go against his right to freedom, his free will? If God's deciding to keep him alive. That is a cute sheep. Oh, this is also a Star Wars scene. A human is sharing our watering hole. Oh, that's right. Physical assault against children. That's also in this movie. Hot, hot! Hot! Hot, 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 hot! Oh, wow. This guy is so badass. He just let the camels loose. He's a hero. Oh, my God. Horrible architecture. What were you doing? They were being assaulted. And you were nowhere near. Uh-oh. And you know what? You kind of deserve that, Moses. Yeah. Misogynist jokes. This movie has it all, I'm telling you. Nah, sexual innuendo. This movie is great. Ah! You're in the middle of the freaking desert. Why are you wearing all those robes, dude? Good lord, but that seems a little bit on the nose for this movie. Midian, I'm assuming that's the land of the Midianites. Aren't those the people that King David slaughters earlier in the Old Testament? Or is it later? I think it's later. Be open to other people's cultures. Especially when they fictitiously empower women. I don't think that would have ever been the case. In reality, at this point in time in history. So he has a brain. After kind of, sort of, treating her like crap. Oh, I took this opportunity to look this up on Wikipedia. Yeah, the whitewashing. Val Kilmer as Moses. That's about as whitewashing as you can get. Ralph Fiennes as Ramesses. Definitely not Egyptian. Michelle Pfeiffer as Zipporah. Not Egyptian. Sandra Bullock as Miriam. Not Egyptian. Jeff Goldblum as Aaron. Not Egyptian. I honestly should have caught that. I don't know why I didn't. Danny Glover, not Egyptian. Patrick Stewart as Pharaoh Seti. I didn't catch that at all. Also not Egyptian. Helen Mirren, also not Egyptian. Steve Martin, also not Egyptian. Martin Short, also not Egyptian. Ofra Haza as Yoheved. She is Egyptian. Oh, well, she's Israeli. Okay, well. Oh, well, I guess that would make sense because she plays a Judean. Bobby Motown as Ramesses' son. That's a hell of a name. Bobby Motown. Oh, when I was talking about DreamWorks and Disney's relationship and DreamWorks doing what Disney did, Jeffrey Katzenberg wanted to do an animated adaptation of The Ten Commandments, but Michael Eisner at Disney refused to let him do it. So Katzenberg essentially went to DreamWorks to make his Disney movie that didn't happen. So I guess it still applies. Okay, I love this. Not this shot, but the shot after this. I love it. I wonder how much affection actually went on, like this stuff right here. How much of this actually went down? Because, like, it wasn't that far long ago that women were seen as, like, brood bearers. And, like, I don't know how affectionate men were to their wives. This is one of those morning after sex shots. They do this in The Fox and the Hound too, where it's a family movie, so they can't they can only imply that like, oh, they got it on. And it's usually that scene where the guy gets up and he sees the sky in the morning and he's like, ugh. like nobody ever does that. Unless like they had a good time the night before, right? That happens in Fox and the Hound, where Todd is, he gets with Vixie, I think that's her name, Vixen. And he wakes up and comes out of the burrow and he's like, ah. I love it. That's like a little hot nod to the adults in the audience for no real reason. Oh, it's an ethereally burning bush. Real quick, because DreamWorks was concerned about theological accuracy, Jeffrey Katzenberg decided to call in biblical scholars, Christian, Jewish, and Muslim theologians. That is another high point of this film. It's a religious movie, but it's also an Old Testament religious movie, which means that it can appeal to all three of the Judeo-Christian religions. A very interesting choice. Old Testament obviously being because all three have attest to Old Testament writings in some way or form. Val Kilmer speaking, by the way. I'm very disappointed because I thought I was going to say the voice cast for this film is... their work is spectacular. Like, the voice acting is great. Except for the voice of God. It's very stilted. And I always thought it was just an actor, but this is just Val Kilmer, I guess, being told to be emotionless and, like, acting badly. I do like the sound waves on the ground. and you waited 1,000 years. After 1,000 years. And they were so proud of that, they depicted it on their walls of their palace. See, that was such a, like, not powerful voice. Like, Val Kilmer could have done way better. I wonder if this is what BioWare was thinking of at the end of Mass Effect 3, where the Catalyst has the same voice as male and female Shepard, and they're all, like, coalesced into one voice. I wonder if that's what they're thinking, because Val Kilmer does the voice of Moses and God. I hope you can't hear the dog outside my front door. Someone came back from a walk. Almond tree? It's blooming. It's budding. Even the tree's getting it on. That is definitely not Egypt. Did it take him that long to, like, fully comprehend what had just happened? And I guess that would sort of have to be the case if, like, the creator of the universe just up and decided, oh, you know what? Here, I'm gonna float you in the air for a second. He's one man with God on his side. I mean, not only it's and it, he's not just like another God. He's like the God of the people depicting these stories. So he's the biggest and the best God. I mean, you're going to have to wait a couple thousand years for that. If not more than a couple, like 3,000-4,000. You got a long ways to go to get to where these Midianites are depicted as being. Although I'm saying that with child labor actively happening in the background. Okay, so in the actual story, I can't believe DreamWorks really dropped the ball, because by this point in the story, if you read the Old Testament, these two actually have a child, they have a son, and on their way to Egypt, God, like, threatens to kill them because they didn't circumcise their son, and so they have to do, like, an impromptu circumcision on the way to Egypt. It's amazing, and, like, The fact that that did not make it into this film is a very major disappointment. That would have been a fantastic scene. That's one of those historical liberties they took. This doesn't seem very friendly, family friendly. Let's just erase the son from the story. Ooh. Did he just show up to the guards and was like, yo, I'm Moses, I'm back. Did they remember him? Oh, he's about to be playing with the big boys now. Moses? We hate to bring it up, but we can't help but. Look, he's doing the Randy Orton thing. Look how shocked Hoy and Hotep looked, like they weren't expecting that at all. Of course he was going to absolve him of all guilt. So I think Aaron in the Bible, Aaron is supposed to be here for this. He's got a very smug, mine's bigger look on his face. Oh, well. Oh, this is giving me Majora's Mask vibes. Yeah, this might be one of the best songs in the movie. I love it. Oh no. The two scorpion gods. They consult with some ancient Egyptian theologians as well. See, like, you would think, obviously, well, you know what? Now that I know that Jeffrey Katzenberg consulted with different, well, I mean, I guess they're technically the same religion at this point in time that they're depicting. But, like, you would think that they would depict the Egyptian gods as, like, smoke and mirrors, you know? But if you read the Old Testament, I think I mentioned this before. If you read the Old Testament, there are literally, like, other deities running around. So, like, I'm very impressed that they would depict that accurately in this film. And it's not just like, oh, well, only the Hebrew God exists and all the other gods are fake. You know, I mean, they must exist because they just created snakes out of staffs too, right? So, I mean, obviously the God of the Hebrew eats them both at the same time whole. So, there's your symbolism there. But, like, but also it's very confusing because later on they do something similar, but they make it seem like conniving and tricky. So, I don't know. Also, that was a very odd transition. Like, all of that happened, and then, okay, let's go here and have a talk. Hard work. Look, he even put a bigger statue of himself next to his father. I mean, not just his. I'm sure his fathers did, and his fathers did. Notice, Moses only decided to come back once he had the God of the Hebrews in his back pocket. Before then, he really couldn't have cared less. Look, he kept your ring after all these years. You were once my chief architect. And we hadn't had one because I needed this ring to appoint a new one. I mean, you could probably meet him. I like how he has, like, actual motivation for what he's doing. He's not just evil just for the sake of evil. Ramesses is, like, obsessed with, like, his father's acceptance. I like how Moses was like, oh my God, more work. Good God. All they know is work. Also, word travels fast. They're also kind of playing hopscotch with that thing I said earlier on, where they can't say the God. I mean, I guess they're not referring to him as Yahweh, so I guess they are still correct. A lot of weird, hokey, like, magic stuff in ancient religions. Like, you have to know the name of God, and you can control God, so that's why you're not supposed to say his name. That's why you're not supposed to use the Lord's name in vain. That gives you, like, magical powers. I think that's how Lilith escapes the Garden of Eden, actually. She learns the name of God and is able to fly because of it. Something weird like that. Oh, I guess God did grant him oxygen when he was underneath sand for, like, hours. Okay, that's easy for you to say. You don't have all of the people here, like, throwing mud balls at you and hating you. Don't stop what you're doing, even though everyone here hates you. Oh, serendipity. Is he getting mad himself, or is God, like, telling him to get mad? Man, I'm so glad we have, like, the internet and entertainment. All Ramesses can do to entertain himself is to go on a freaking Nile Delta cruise. Is he making his own decisions, or is he basically just an automaton? That was a very notable scene back in the late 90s. Now they're making it a bit, like, weird on the Egyptian gods, because obviously there are Egyptian gods, as we saw earlier, but now they're making it look like they're tricking him. Like, they literally just threw red powder in water and it turned red. Wow, what a marvelous, like, revelation there. Although I guess he just scoop it up and he thinks it's blood. They're very wishy-washy on, like, the composition of the Egyptian gods, you know? That made it seem like they were hokey. Like, oh, they are smoke and mirrors. But we saw the Egyptian gods, unless it's the Hebrew god turning their staffs into snakes, you'd think he would just, like, turn off their magic tap or something. I think that's the only verbal conversation those two have, really, in the whole movie. Oh, he's a really good motivational speaker. Okay, here's arguably the best song in the film. Also, I hate that slow motion thing right there. Nothing worse than out of place slow motion or out of place fast motion, which happens a lot in older films. Like on Her Majesty's Secret Service, there's a scene where there's a fight scene that is done in super fast motion. I'm like, what the hell? This is so weird. Yeah, I'd be like, fuck this. I mean, if I were a eunuch, I would already have been like, oh, fuck this. But, I mean, that wouldn't have helped my outlook on life. Also, his eyes are vacant. Is that to, like, symbolize, like, how empty the shell of Egypt is? That is also inaccurate to the story, because in the Bible, God hardens Pharaoh's heart. So if God doesn't care about Pharaoh's free will, why doesn't he just let them go? It's very confusing. Stop it with your rubbing alcohol and get out there. Is this what you wanted? That was a bit of a clunky shot. Also, Ralph Fiennes is falling into the trap of, I've never heard him sing anywhere else on planet Earth, so I'm assuming that was fake singing or auto-tuned. How dark it is over there, and there's like a sun over. Oh, I think that is one of the plague. Endless night for a week or something. I guess that is a legitimate plague. I forgot. Statues of their parents. Their mom's statue is still there. Even though she's just as complicit in genocide as her husband was. I don't know how you get up there, dude. Or how you get down. You jump down, but how does that not break your knees? Can't talk, because then everyone will know that Ramesses is only doing this just because, oh, the traditions compel me to treat human beings horribly. Well, duh. Okay, I know why Moses would refer to the Egyptian gods as, oh, the crocodile and the falcon, but Ramesses reveres them. Why wouldn't he call them by name? Look, he's trying to do that again. Well, he's trying to get your son out of trouble. There's Bobby Motown. I like how his son is just chilling by the genocide painting. So Tell that to the Americans and everybody else who has built their countries on top of slave labor. I'm pretty sure the Jews, after this, under King David, used slave labor. If they didn't, they just murdered a lot of people. Get it? It's symbolism. Get it? How did he bring it upon himself? God has hardened his heart. God is not wanting him to let you leave. Oh, here comes the Egyptian genocide scene. Oh boy. Dude, this has got to be like the most, like, you would be following your instructions to the T. That's got to be the most unnerving covering of blood of your door stamp, your door jam, like, ever. I also need to point out that, no, you know what, I'm not going to point that out. I was going to say, if their God is all-knowing, then why do they need to give him road signs on where not to go? But the God of the Old Testament's not really all-knowing like the New Testament God is. The Old Testament God has to cheat at wrestling in order to beat Jacob. Okay, here's another IMAX scene. It's like a science fiction movie. I also like how this scene is completely devoid of music. I mean, I guess they are depicting genocide, so I mean, best not to, like, make it triumphant or anything. Murdering children. Survivor. In Egypt, fire is life. When your fire goes out, so are you. See, they depict a lot of things in this film that I would say are very bold, if only because this is made for a North American, United States audience, generally. But I mean, I guess that's why they were able to make it into a good movie and not, like, you know, beat around the bush and make it overtly, like, advert serial? Is that a word? Ryan. You know what we plan, what we need for this plan to freedom? Murder. Moses, this might be a bad time, bro. Now, was that so difficult? I mean, apparently. Leave me! That was the best take? creating the voice of God. The challenge with that voice was to try to evolve it into something that had not been heard before, says Bender. We did a lot of research into the voices that had been used for past Hollywood movies as well as for radio shows. And we were trying to create something that had never been previously heard, not only from a casting standpoint, but from a voice manipulation standpoint as well. Oh, so that's why they made it not good. Because it had never been heard before. It was decided that the voice of God would be provided by Val Kilmer, who portrayed Moses in the film in order to indicate that God was communicating to him via the voice he would otherwise perceive in his mind. Oh, see? BioWare did use this film as a reference point for Mass Effect 3. Oh, Mariah Carey and Whitney Houston are about to show up, by the way. Oh, wait, no, that they didn't do the film version. They did the soundtrack version. Very misleading. This is Sally Dworsky and Michelle Pfeiffer, who I also have never heard sing anywhere else. Sally Dworsky can actually sing. She's in The Lion King? What? And Shrek! Oh my god. Oh, she was Adult Nala. And Princess Fiona's singing voice. Well, Adult Nala's singing voice as well. Also, hang on. Need to make sure I'm accurate before I say anything. No, she's still alive. Well, then what's this reference to funeral notices? Dworsky Shirley. Oh, that's her mom. Never mind. It's actually this is a very brave transition right after murdering a bunch of Egyptian children, cutting to the song. Hey, where's your two son? Oh, interesting. The Prince of Egypt was banned in the Maldives, Malaysia, and Egypt. All state Islam countries on the grounds that Islamic prophets, which includes Moses, are not to be visually depicted. Interesting. Also, props to Hans Zimmer, I guess. For actually, like, there's a lot of whitewashing as far as the cast goes, but there's at least one song with Hebrew singing. Or with the Hebrew language, rather, more specifically. IMAX shot. Gonna break his back. Sorry, God's got his back. Never mind. Did Moses know that they were singing and that's why he did that? Hang on, this film wasn't even nominated for Best Animated Picture at the Academy Awards. What the heck else was there? Hang on. Oh, did they not have an animated? Oh, that was before they had Best Animated Film. They had Animated Short Film. That's so weird why they would have Best Animated Short Film but not Best Animated Film. I think the Animated Film one would come first. But yeah, this was back when animated films had to absolutely, like, beg on their knees to get into the Best Picture category. Which, this was the year Saving Private Ryan, which did not win, shockingly enough, was nominated for Best Picture. So even if Shakespeare in Love hadn't won, which I have not seen that, so... Although Harvey Weinstein... Oh, God. Shakespeare in Love must be pretty spectacular if it beat out Saving Private Ryan that year. Oh, no! Steven Spielberg did win Best Directing for Saving Private Ryan. Shakespeare in Love won everything. Gwyneth Paltrow, Judi Dench. Maybe I need to watch it. Whoa! Yeah, I can't remember what other animated film. I know Beauty and the Beast was nominated for Best Picture. I can't remember what else. If you wanted IMAX shots, here's an IMAX shot for you. Voice I've never heard before. See, they don't speak in the scene. This is nonverbal communication. They only have one conversation, really. That's not antagonistic, anyway. Oh, also, the 71st Academy Awards, Dame Judi Dench and Kate Blanchett were both nominated for portraying the same character. Judi Dench was Queen Elizabeth I in Shakespeare in Love, and Kate Blanchett was Elizabeth the First. So they portrayed the same character in different movies and were both nominated. Fun fact. We're supposed to be watching a movie, by the way. IMAX, this was another iconic shot. You know what? I say that, but I'm only saying that because we had like we had a book that was like a visual, like retelling of the movie. So that's just it's not an iconic shot. It's just a shot that I'm familiar with because I saw it so much in that book. That was probably the most comical shot in the whole movie. Also, notice that God is not simply content with the Egyptians just hanging back. He wants them to go in there and die. The god of the Hebrew god of the Old Testament was very gave no fucks. Wait, there are plenty of chariots. Where did they all go? Where have all the chariots gone, and where are all the carts? You know what? God just wanted to make it dramatic because he knew that they were filming a movie for this. No! Why did God spare him? They're like, did you guys see that? Or was it just me? Yeah, there's a reason why Moses is the most revered figure in all of Judaism. Crap like that. Oh, that's right. You two are related as well. I couldn't have guessed. You're hardly into the movie together. Aaron's been talking more to his sister-in-law than he's talked to his brother the whole darn movie. Last time he's going to look towards Egypt, he's like, man, I've got 40 years of the desert. Never does see Judea, does he? Moses dies before they get there. Joseph has to take over. Joseph, who was it? Been so long. Started with a J, I know that. Free to wander in the desert for 40 years. I mean, they don't know that yet, but God supposedly knows that by now, right? And there's Mount Sinai! Oh man, Moses is about to be very upset in a second. Oh man, if we could only see the debauchery going on down there right now. I like bring that up because I always thought it was weird growing up and watching this. And I was like, wait, I know the whole the golden bull calf thing that they're worshiping down there. Why did they just cut away? Like, they just stopped the movie right here. But, like, there's shit going on down there. Unless this is the second time he brought the commandments down, in which case they've all been murdering themselves and purifying themselves. I don't know. Just kind of end the movie, which I guess that makes sense because that's... I mean, they've got another half hour. They could have they could have done a little bit more. Yeah, Jeffrey Katzenberg, the great traitor of Disney. I don't even know if he was a traitor. I don't know anything about Jeffrey Katzenberg other than the fact that he worked at... I didn't even know until just this moment that he worked at DreamWorks for, I guess, a period of time. Isn't he back at Disney, or is that Mike Eisner? Mark Eisner. The Eisner. Eisner man. I mean, I guess no time. Prince of Egypt based on Book of Exodus. You don't say. DreamWorks. Hang on, I gotta find Katzenberg's name. I can click on it. He was a co-founder and CEO of DreamWorks Animation. No, he didn't. He never returned to Disney. He made Shrek, Madagascar. Ooh, How to Train Your Dragon. I need to watch that. Oh, that's right. He tried to do Quibi. Oh my God. Yeah, that was not. Yeah. Early life, Paramount. Walt Disney, DreamWorks, Wonder Co. Aims to reinvent TV for mobile devices. Well, we see how that worked with Quibi. Of the initial $1.65 billion raised, Quibi only returned $350 million. Good God. On October 22nd, 2020, Katzenberg told the employees to listen to the song Get Back Up Again from the movie Trolls as he announced that the employees would be fired. Katzenberg is kind of an asshole. What a dick. Oh my God. What an asshole. I wouldn't want to go to dinner with Katzenberg. He sounds like a real piece of work. That's really mean. But yeah, Well, what was his credit? He's credited with Star Trek, the motion picture, but there's no credits. oh, great mouse detective. Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Oliver and Company. There's a lot of old school Disney films that I need to go back and rewatch. Nightmare Before Christmas. Chicken Run, yeah! We need to watch that. Spirit, Stallion of the Cimarron. Sinbad. I remember being entranced by that film, but we never watched it. Shark Tale, Yeah, no. Didn't that one have Will Smith in it? Let's get this party started like... Ooh. I remember the trailer more than anything else about it. Wallace and Gromit. I never did watch that. Flushed Away. Remember that? Oh my God, everyone's going through a trip down memory lane right now. Monsters versus Aliens. I never saw that, but apparently it took place in Modesto, which is near where I grew up. Arthur 3. Was there an Arthur 2 or 1? I didn't see it. Oh, it is a sequel to previous films. How to Train Your Dragon, Megamind. And then it just starts to peter out. Jeffrey Katzenberg's Turbo! Remember that? I thought that some of these films came out much later than they did. Oh my God, I'm getting old. Rise of the Guardians. I still see people on Twitter thirsting over the main guy from Rise of the Guardians. Jack Frost, I guess. Puss in Boots. Coming out with a new one. Okay, we're talking about completely different things. I love the Prince of Egypt. I like the music. The casting is great, even though all of them are not Egyptian or Judean or Hebrews or Jews even. They're all white people. with no affiliation with any of the religions depicted therein. But yeah, I love pretty much everything about it. There are a few things here and there, but it's a very solid movie. The music is great. Oh, hang on. We got to look up Joseph and the King of Dreams. Hang on. Joseph, King of Dreams. Here we go. This came out 2 years later. Direct-to-video animated musical drama film. Oh, it was the first direct-to-video production from DreamWorks. Wow. Serves as a prequel to the 98 film Prince of Egypt. Yeah, composer Daniel Pelfrey. Who was not Hans Zimmer. Based on Book of Genesis. Starring Ben Affleck. Good lord. Oh no. No wonder it failed. It also had Mark Hamill in it. Wow, who did he play? Oh, Judah. Isn't that his dad? Yeah, Judah. Was Judah the brother of Esau? Can't remember. I guess I could mid-click on this. No, this has nothing to do with Esau. Tamar. That's not Tamar of Georgia, no. Tamar was the daughter-in-law of Judah twice. What? But yeah, there's a lot of this because I was raised Catholic. I was no longer a Catholic like 10, 15 years ago. A lot of this is stuff I remember and recognize from my time in like Catholic school. Oh, look, they have citations! They're doing a thing. That's all three religions revering Moses. Because there's the Quran, the Bible, and then the Torah. Or the Hebrew Bible. Why did they just call it the Torah? It was 98. People didn't know that. Outside of Judaism. Hang on. We're not ever going to watch Joseph, I don't think. Although that has a woman attempting to rape a man in it. So, you know, this is continuing the tradition of these films having like outrageously crazy things in them depicted. Asenath. Oh no, that's a good person. Cause Asenath is the woman, she's like the only woman in, Lovecraft books. In the Lovecraft stories, Asenath is like the only woman character, and that's like the thing on the porch, the thing on the footstep, that's like the best book, or the best story, or my favorite, anyway. Okay, well, we could go on and on, but that'll be it for now. I don't know, we might watch it at some point, I don't know, I really don't want to, but, I mean, you know what, I do kind of want to, just to compare it to this film. I don't know, we'll see. It'll take a lot of goading. On myself. The storytelling was heavy-handed and clunky. You're telling me. Anyway, thank you guys for watching. I'll see you guys next time on the next episode of Back Row Seating Podcast. Goodbye.